Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
We had all kinds of microclimates in the studio out here, or in the 95.7 The Game floor.
It's like, just kind of like the Bay Area.
It's like the it's once you step inside of the studio, you drop like 20 degrees. It's like the Arctic in here. All right, 888-957-9570. We're talking about Steph Curry and Steph. We're considering, would you trade Steph Curry and maybe get some assets in return and let Steph go chase that fifth ring? In my opinion, Steph isn't going anywhere, and I do think that at the same time he can somehow transition and get into a rebuild. What say you, Word, out in Oakland, who joins us here on 95.7 The Game? Word, what's up, man?
Hey, what's up, Dan? Just listening to fans, it sounds like everybody, most folks are like, under no circumstances do you consider trading Steph. I'm a Niners fan, too, so I'll preface that. But as a Lakers fan, I remember those years when Kobe was getting signed to that last $48 million two-year contract, and nobody wanted to trade him because they just wanted to have Kobe on the court and was like, okay, well, we're going to suck for a few years because Kobe's on the court and he's old, and the free agents aren't going to want to come and play with him because he's old and they're going to be playing for him instead of their career. So who wants that as a younger player? Same with Steph. Like, go free agent that you want. Everybody's talking about go get Zion, go get this player and that player, as if that player is thinking to himself, yeah, right now I'd love to go play with Steph at this stage in his career and that stage of the Warriors. This isn't the years when Durant was like, I want to go play with that team because they play a style of basketball that I love. That's not what this team is anymore. And so the idea of playing for just Steph, you're asking fans, of course, they want the team to play for Steph. Players aren't here to play for Steph. They're here to play for their own, their selves. And the idea that you just, Dan, you said that Steph is different and he won't be the guy who wants to go play for another team or won't complain about the current, you know, status of things. He actually said it on our airwaves. He said, and it was a quote, I don't know why, I don't know if it got buried because we don't want to hear it anymore, but he said he's all good as long as the team is not a bottom feeder. Right now, the team is closer to being bottom feeder than a contender. So I don't understand how everybody's so just ignoring the fact that he told us that he's all good as long as the team is not a bottom feeder. Like, he went further than Kobe said. And Kobe was like, man, you think I'm playing for a team and only going to average 19 points a game? Psh, get out of here. Like, Steph is basically saying the same thing. I'm not playing for a team that's not contending. So if you're just trying to watch Steph because he's in a Warriors jersey and think he's going to be happy with that, then you're just being a selfish fan. Like, I understand, you know, folks don't want to see him leave, but it's like, What do you think he wants? Do you think he just wants to run around, run through screens and gun threes for nothing to win 40 games or less a year? Like, there's no magic pill coming. I mean, because these magic pills aren't trying to come to play for Steph at 30-plus years of age. He's missing games. He's missing way more shots. This isn't 2018 Steph. So I don't understand what everybody's thinking in terms of processing where this team's future is. Thanks, fellas. Have a good one.
Thanks, Word.
Well done, Word. Yeah, I understand the bottom feeling, and clearly it's something to take into account. I think there's a difference between saying something and actually getting to the point where it becomes sort of like that of what we're experiencing in Miami with Jimmy Butler. And it just, again, I just don't think it's ever going to get to that point with Steph Curry. Now, the idea of a transition or a rebuild has to be while you're still somewhat competitive. And I know that might be a contradiction, but you can still appease Steph, because I think Steph can see big picture here. But I could be completely on my own here, that I don't see, first of all, Lacob ever trading him, and I don't ever see it getting to the point where Steph is like, I want out. You're clearly bottom feeding and you're rebuilding, and that's not what I want to do. I want to go to Team X. Can you please make it happen so I can win another championship? I think that there's always going to be some rationale or conversation between the two, that being management or Lacob specifically, and Steph Curry, so that they're on the same page as far as how he exit and the direction of the Warriors going forward.
Well, number one, Ward's right about Kobe, but I think that he and Steph are a little different as players. So I don't think that there is as big of a concern from another player coming in to fit around Curry the way you'd have to fit around like Kobe. But where I do think that Curry and Kobe are different is also in the selflessness, because I think that Curry, again, the point is not just, it's not, I think we need to strip ourselves of this idea that it has to be a title. He's not saying, I gotta win a fifth. He's saying, I just don't want to suck. And that's what the Warriors did in the month of December. Like, I know they beat Philadelphia. They sucked for a month. That's why they're a game above 500. After starting 12-3, by the way. A team who started 12-3 has never missed the playoffs. He doesn't want to suck. That's why I'm not saying that you got to trade him. All I'm saying is I don't want to let it get to the point where he's forced to make a decision about his future with the Warriors. And so that doesn't mean that you have to go all in for him. You just have to do something. You know, getting Schroeder is a nice piece. There's been a report out there that the Warriors, instead of being in on Jimmy Butler, are more looking at Nikola Vucevic. That's a nice player. He can help you win some games. Curry's just saying, I don't want to suck while I limp into whatever retirement is. He's not saying I got to be the focal point of a championship team or even the second or third best player on a title team. He's just saying, we can't be stuck in the lottery for the last few years of my career. And I think the Warriors have legitimate reason to believe that they don't have to do that. But it requires some effort on the front office's part. And, for example, getting Vucevic wouldn't necessarily be super expensive. Like, that's a buy-low candidate, because I think the Chicago Bulls would be willing to get off him if the Warriors could offer him, or offer them, you know, a first-round pick, Gary Payton II, maybe Kevon Looney, and some salary filler. Like, that to me is a move that's realistic, and I think that could help the Warriors, but also show Steph that you're trying. Like, you're not going to mortgage your entire future for him, and I don't think he's asking them to do that. He's just simply saying you can't do nothing.
Yeah, Vucevic is, to me, it's sort of like shuffling the deck chairs on the Titanic. Yeah, he can improve your basketball team.
Can he help you get to the playoffs? I'm not saying win around, just get to the playoffs.
Well, I guess there's a big difference between not wanting to suck and then chasing another ring and going to another basketball team. So we have to sort of differentiate. If that's not what it is that he wants, if he does not want to go to another basketball team because he wants to win that championship ring, he just doesn't want to suck. Those are two completely different stories.
Well, I think he wants a chance. Like, again, he wants an opportunity to compete in the postseason, to have a chance.
I would agree with
that.
I think appeasing him...
It's not looking like that's going to happen.
But okay, so maybe you're not in the lottery, but there has to be... You have to continue to go young and head in a direction so that when Steph does leave the team, you're not left holding the bag and or Jimmy Butler's contract or Paul George's contract or something ridiculous along those lines.
I agree. But that's why in this hypothetical, like, you're right. Vucevic, to me, doesn't move the needle drastically. But in this hypothetical trade scenario, I don't think you're mortgaging your future. That's why, like, I am trying to, at this trade deadline, acquire...
Vucevic is pretty good. I mean,
no, he's...
What would you have to give up for Vucevic?
So that's... All right, so... Vucevic, if you could do this, would you? Nikola Vucevic, who's, granted, he's 34 years old. He is an older player.
Yeah.
He's averaging 20 and 10, but the Bulls, as we've discussed, are not a great team. You would have to give up, let's say, Gary Payton II, who's an expiring, either of Kyle Anderson or Buddy Hield. I would personally, even though he's stunk, I would lean Kyle Anderson because he's not even playing right now, and Kevon Looney.
So, unless the Bulls are just unloading salaries, why the hell would Chicago even entertain that?
Because they're picking up a bunch of expiring contracts.
And I see.
And they're a team that is...
Got it.
Yeah, that has financial reasons to move off of him.
Yeah.
So...
If they're unloading money, then...
And you would probably have to attach a first-round pick.
Mm.
I mean, to me, I wouldn't mind doing that. If you're telling me that I'm shortening my rotation, which the Warriors are already doing anyways, you're getting... I don't think he's a great center, but like a stretch five.
Are we protecting or unprotecting that first round?
There'd probably be some protections.
All right.
But, yeah, I mean, it wouldn't be like just completely unprotected.
I would do that. I mean, if you want GP2, Kyle Anderson, and who else did you mention?
I think it might be GP2, Looney, and like Lindy Waters, and a first round pick.
You could do Gary Payton, Anderson, Kevon Looney for Vucevic and Chris Duarte. That works.
That matches? I would do it.
I mean, again, I think that's why the Warriors roster made sense to me coming into this season, not just because, you know, I thought they might be able to play a little bit, but also you have a lot of guys that you could use to get one or two in this case. You know, Duarte is kind of a throw-in, but that's where I think the Warriors are at with this deadline. It's not going to get the big fish, apparently, because there's reportedly out on Jimmy Butler. I think he's the biggest game changer that's available for this season. That's just me. But apparently they don't want him. And so if you're going to do something, it's got to be something around the margins. I don't think Cameron Johnson is someone that the Warriors...
Well, now you're giving up players.
Yeah. Like, I think the hang-up with the Nets and the reason why he didn't come over with Schroeder is because apparently the Warriors were not willing to move off of Kuminga. I personally think that that's a good move because, like you said... You have to keep something in the cupboard for the future. But if I'm moving GP2, who I'm probably not bringing back this summer anyways, Looney or Anderson, who neither of which have been in the rotation, and some salary filler, I'm willing to come off that first-round pick.
I would, too. If we're just matching salaries, and I can get... Vucevic is a... I mean, he'd be a huge piece for the Warriors because it's one of those things that, you know, they have a hard time obviously matching up with bigs, and they haven't for some time had a serviceable big, and that's exactly what he is. And he's somebody that is good enough defensively, but he's a good, adequate basketball player with a good touch from the outside. He's a legitimate good center in this league, and the Warriors haven't had one of those since, what, I don't know, Bogut?
Well, I don't think they've ever had an offensively minded center the way that Vucevic is. You know, they've never had a center that has averaged 20 points per game.
But you don't necessarily need to make a splash at the trade deadline. And you talk about, you know, around the margins. Think about what was the biggest trade piece or the biggest trade that was made at the deadline a year ago, and I'll tell you, it was Dallas because it put them into the NBA Finals. They almost won a championship with P.J. Washington and Gafford.
Yeah.
And they were there for the taking.
But they didn't give up much to
no,
do it.
No, well, the Warriors wouldn't have had to either. So it doesn't
but last year didn't really make much sense. Like those players, well, those players fit Dallas. I don't know if they would have fit Golden State. What I'm saying is,
you could have used Gafford and P.J. Washington, two two-way players with size.
Well, then your boy wouldn't have played, Trayce Jackson-Davis.
Well,
like Gafford would have made him obsolete. I mean, I'm saying, yes, I understand that they're upgrades, they're better players. I don't think that P.J. Washington and Daniel Gafford would have impacted the Warriors the way that they impacted Dallas because...
Okay, well, forget about those two players specifically. The point being is that being around the margins, you can find impactful players that aren't named Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, I mean, I think Jimmy fits, but I also think that Vucevic fits to some extent. I mean,
I'd love it. If Vucevic, and you can pull that, you can pull the trigger for what it is we just outlined. And by the way, you just attacked me with Trayce Jackson-Davis, who is playing much better of late.
He is. He's playing very well. Vucevic also means that he's probably not going to play a whole lot anymore.
I was just thinking about that.
you still want him? I know you like TJD, man. By the way,
TJ, it's not like Vucevic is going to take all his minutes.
I mean, he's playing 32 a night, Vucevic. Oh. But he would relegate. How about that? He would relegate TJD. TJD had a nice little dunk on Embiid.
Yeah.
Dude, he's caught a body of some few big men since he's gotten to the league. Wemby. He had a dunk on Wemby last year. Embiid. Who they got tonight? Oh, you know who better watch out tonight? Edie.
Oh, no. Hey, listen. TJD's
coming for Big Zach.
You willing to eat crow on Zach Edey, who you said would never be able to play in this league?
No. No. I don't believe he can play. He stinks.
Are you watching Memphis?
Yeah, I'll watch him tonight. They play better without him.
No, that's not true.
You know who's better than
Zach
Edey?
That is so not true.
You know who's better than Zach Edey?
Who?
Oh, their backup big, who I can't even name. He went to Virginia. He's bald. God. Edie's fine.
Hey, by the way, speaking of bigs, and you mentioned Wemby, the dunk that Trayce Jackson-Davis.
Who's my guy?
I'm willing to. How is this for a prediction?
Jay Huff. That's who's better than Zach Edey.
That's not true. You need to put down your vape or whatever it is that you do.
I did. I left it in 2024. We talked about
this. Right.
Yeah. Wrong vape.
Oh, man. That has got college written all over it, man.
Yeah, I left the bongs. Yeah, I left them back.
Do people still use bongs?
You know, I've heard rumors.
Yeah. So, women.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mama, who Trayce Jackson-Davis dunked on.
Yeah.
How's this for a prediction? I got another one for you. I'm not stopping at Zion Williamson. You ready?
Oh, boy. Okay.
San Antonio finishes in front of the Golden State Warriors this year. They're in front of them now.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I know. So it's not
that
bold of a prediction, but I think Wemby's ready to take over the mantle a lot sooner than a lot of us thought.
Do you see that last possession? They beat Denver last night in Denver. Did you see?
I don't know if I saw the last possession.
He might be the only player in the league.
Oh, when he challenged the Joker.
He forced Jokic to pass the ball, and he turned it over. And by the way, Stephon Castle almost ruined that game. They were up one. Jokic throws it away with like 6 seconds left or something. Castle, rookie, UConn, nice player, dunks the ball to go up three and gives them the ball back with 2 seconds left with a chance to tie the game. Just run into the corner, get fouled, take time off the clock, and make them like... Yeah, they almost ruined that game. But the fact that Wembanyama, and they showed the replay, like Jokic would, and he's got a great high arcing over his head shot. You cannot give the ball to someone against Wembanyama one on one, and he's the greatest defensive neutralizer we have in the league.
Well, It's games like that last night where I really think that I use sort of the barometer that this guy is arriving a lot sooner than any of us anticipated, because it's the last 5 minutes of games is where I want to see how he plays basketball and where he gets his shots. If he's shooting that three in crunch time in a close game in the last 2 or 3 minutes of a game, that shows me that he's still not there. I don't want that guy shooting that three, which I know he shoots at a high percentage, but I want him more of at a mid-range, or I want him to get a little bit closer to the basket as we get into closer moments. And he was so smart with the ball last night. I still think that there's got to be more of a balance. I still want to see him closer to the rim, but he, in just about every way, now you could see the maturity. He's beginning to learn the game. He's learning how to flop a little bit. He took that charge against Embiid and pissed Embiid off.
Well, he's finally over 200 pounds, which helps.
Well, that's the only thing. The only thing that can deny this guy from greatness, much like that of Zion, well, he's the complete opposite of Zion Williamson, is health. And any 7-footer, or what is he, 7'6"?
7'3", 7'4".
I mean, because he was a good 3 inches taller than the Joker last night.
Yeah, and he's got like an 8-foot wingspan, which is why, I mean, Jokic, don't get me wrong, like Jokic had 41, 16-9 or something. He had a great game. But the fact that you can throw the ball to, in my estimation, the best player on the planet in Jokic, and he can't even get a shot off against Wembanyama. And he's 21 years old. Like, that guy is going to be the best player in this league very soon.
It could happen towards the end of this year.
It could.
Do you want to hear some crazy numbers about Wemby? Through his first 100 games, he has 366 blocks. That's more than Shaq, Alonzo Mourning, Dikembe Mutombo. Through his first 100 games, he has 225 threes, which is more than Klay Thompson and Steph Curry both had through their first 100.
Holy
career crazy points. The most ever through their first 100 was Allen Iverson. He had 2,258. Wemby has 2,273. And blocks, he is ahead of Andre, or excuse me, rebounds, he's ahead of Andre Drummond, who is next up at 964. He has 1,053.
He's just rewriting everything.
No, I mean, I don't know if we're looking at the next face of the NBA, but he is going to be the best player. And if he stays healthy,
he's the face
he will
of the NBA.
Be. Well, I don't know if he can be just because he's not American, but I think his greatness is—it's going to be undeniable. Like I've never seen a player as defensively, physically gifted, but also with the wherewithal that he has. Like he's also a smart defender. He's not just, well, I'm so tall that I can block everything. Like he defends the 3-point line as well as he defends the paint, and it's unbelievable.
There's nothing he cannot do. Literally nothing he cannot do on a.
You know
basketball.
What he's shooting at the free throw line this year?
What?
88%.
Jesus.
Where's like he also can make free throws.
He's high 30s from three, I want to say.
36. Although, he takes 9 of them a game.
He takes too many.
That's a lot. That's an awful lot.
For a guy that big. The only thing that can deny him is from great to getting to where it is that we all think he's going to be is those lower extremity injuries, man. Just the first time he comes up, you know, he comes up lame, blowing a tire, that could be the beginning of the end. The only thing that could stop this guy, there's not going to be another NBA basketball player that can defend this guy. It's just going to be him and injuries. If he stays healthy, if he's one of those guys that, Ralph Sampson actually was predominantly healthy throughout his career, so it's not always an inevitability that guys that big are going to go down with an injury. But that's the only thing you've got to guard against.
Yeah, can the Warriors go get him?
No.
Like, I know we're just kind of talking about Steph and stuff. Wemby is a player that if the Warriors called the Spurs and said, hey, Curry for Wemby, they're like, we're good. That might be one of the few players in the league where you'd, like, Wembanyama, he's unbelievable. Yeah. But as far as the Warriors are concerned, like, again, I just think that, to me, this deadline is about trying to improve the team without gutting your cupboard of assets. Like, sending out one first-round pick to me doesn't hurt, but sending out a pick with Jonathan Kuminga is something I'm not interested in.
You can't move Kuminga right now.
I don't think, well, I personally wouldn't. I also don't think that Lacob will. Like, dude, if you can, because Lacob sits courtside, mid-court, usually on the broadcast, he's like top of the screen whenever they're kind of panning between transition sides. Just watch him when Jonathan Kuminga does anything. And also watch him when Buddy Hield gets the ball.
Chivano?
That's right, Chivano. Until he hits multiple threes again, he is Chivano.
Chivano.
But, no, I'm just kidding. Like, Lacob, I think Lacob loves Kuminga. For
what
better,
does he do?
For better or for worse, but...
What does he do?
Who?
Lacob? When Kuminga
he's
gets
just
the...
excited.
Is he?
Like, he's clapping, like he's smiling.
Dad.
Yeah, he's like a proud papa, just looking at his... Well, what's his best young player? You know, and I think Kuminga's starting. I think he is starting to turn a corner, and I think it is because Kerr is giving him ample minutes. I also think it's because Kuminga is now forcing him to give him ample minutes by how he's making consistent winning plays and not just highlight plays.
What about Podziemski? And when he comes back to
Pods is no longer untouchable. That's what I'll.
But Podziemski's his future with his basketball team is it is. As bright as we once thought, or he has got. See, I like Podziemski's defense.
I
like the basketball plays, but you got to score the ball.
Just running around.
You got to score the basketball, man.
Well, you got to be able to at least be a threat to score the basketball. I don't care if you do it a lot or not. That's the issue with the Warriors' offense, right? Is they don't have any threats.
No.
I mean, that's why Curry can be double-teamed or face-guarded or boxed and wand.
You see what they were doing with Draymond Philadelphia? It was just like, literally, Embiid was like, hands extended, like, shoot it if you want. We are not defending you out there. I don't care if you made your last one. And there's too many of those guys. I would do the same thing with GP2. I'd do the same thing with Kevon Looney. I'd do the same thing with Podziemski.
There's a lot of dareables. I dare you to take that. Like, I think it's interesting that Draymond, he hit five games, or five, sorry, not five games. He had a game where he hit five threes against the Mavericks. They lost by 10. Like, it does not matter how many three-pointers Draymond Green makes. The stat about him making multiple threes, it used to apply. To me, it doesn't anymore because he's not a threat. And he can score. I thought he played really well against Philly. Like, he had a spike block on Caleb Martin in the third quarter. He looked really good. But he can't do enough offensively to bend the will of a defense.
All right, let's talk about the Golden State Warriors' opponent tonight as they get ready for the Memphis Grizzlies. We'll talk Grizz. We'll talk about the Warriors as they stack up out there in the West. And do you think this team can get to the playoffs? Or do you think they're better off missing the playoffs and getting into the lottery, like myself? We'll talk about that and much more. It's Evan Giddings and Dan DeBone here on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
Let's take it home. Warriors tonight back at it, taking on the Memphis Grizzlies, who have just ascended, vaulted to the top of the Western Conference.
Not because of Zach Eady.
Look at exactly where this team is right now, because I know.
They're in second place. They're 23 and 12. Yeah, they're
okay,
very good.
OKC, a winner again last night.
Yeah, they won their 14th in a row.
I know. 13th. Is it 14?
I thought it was 14. Is it 16? God, well, all I know is they're winning a lot of damn basketball games. You know what, actually, if it is not 14... Shame on Spiro Dedis. It is 14. Okay, it is 14. I was about to say the broadcaster was off. But Memphis is, I think the top three in the West.
Huge expectations for Spiro, by the way. He sort of leveled out. Good, but I thought he'd be great.
Well, he used to be the Lakers radio guy, right? I mean, he's pretty damn good.
He is good.
I think he does CBS football.
Yeah. But I thought he was going to be the next.
Like the next Harlan or something?
Yeah. Well, no, come on. Don't do that to me.
Dude, you do realize that Kevin Harlan calls the Super Bowl, which is the biggest event in American sports.
And you should know me by I'm not influenced by any of that because he's
like
not very good.
No. Noah Eagles.
Oh, and you know who we went after? I was telling you we were at Trader Sam's, having thrown a few back, and we were talking about because these guys are knowledgeable when it comes to sports.
Yeah.
And when it's sports talk radio and play-by-play. So are you familiar with Joe Starkey?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, he's a legend.
Play-by-play guy for a long time.
Absolute legend in these parts, and just the man. But I always had an issue of listening to Joe because sometimes I had a hard time.
You don't know where the ball is?
Thank you very much. And so his iconic call, which everybody is familiar with, is the play and the the five or seven laterals and the bands on the field, bands on the field. And these guys are both Cal alum. And I had to break it to him. I'm sorry, I love Joe Starkey as much as the next guy. But from a technical standpoint, that was like the worst call ever. It was so Joe Starkey-esque. It's like, and there's another one, another one. I'm like, another what, Joe? What the hell is happening? As it turns out, they were having these laterals all over the field. But it was so like, please, someone fill in the color of this thing for me because I have no idea what's happening.
Which is why that call has evolved into one of the greatest calls in the history of sports. Because with the addition of video.
Oh, that's a good
point. The video fills in the blanks that the call does not.
Because now you watch it on YouTube.
And you watch it with the call. So the kind of simulcast is a perfect complement.
But if you're listening to it radio exclusively, as when he was calling it, he was not doing a television broadcast.
And this is where I swear I'm not just backing out because Starkey's a legend, but I do think it's hard to judge, like, did you listen to the call in real time? Because I do think there's something about listening to college football, and obviously, you know, you're hearing it, but when someone loses their ever-bleeping mind.
No, I love that.
That's what it was.
That's raw. I love it, but I still would like to know. Like, Moen with the lateral, it's still alive, and Garner gets a no, it's another one, and it's still, I don't know what's going on here. I know something really exciting is happening, but Joe, for crying out loud, will you please give me more of a description?
Well, I think, but that's also representative of the play. It literally is, what the bleep is going on here? Like, no one knows what's going on, except for the fact that the band's on the football field. So I don't know what I would have done, and that's another part where I have a hard time judging play-by-play broadcasters, too. Like, I can judge them based on their body of work, but an individual call as zany as that has lived and stood the test of time, you're right, technically it's not perfect, but I don't really know how you nail that call. Like, that is one of the most wild plays in the history of sports, and to me, it's almost impossible to call that play perfect.
Do you know the Holy Roller?
The Bears have to get out of bounds. Rodgers along the sideline. Another one. Still in deep trouble at midfield. They tried to duel a couple of... The ball is still loose as they get it to Rodgers. They give it back now to the 30. They're down to the 20. Oh, the band is out on the field. He's going to go into the end zone. He's got it to the out of bounds. The Bears have won. The Bears have won. The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending, exciting, thrilling finish in the history of college football.
That right there is why it's iconic.
Beautiful.
The play-by-play itself, you're right, not technically great.
Did you know? Okay, what?
But he sticks the landing on the most difficult call in the history of football. That was sensational.
Did you? Okay, so you know how they got down the field, right?
No. I don't know anything about that game except for the band was on the field. Like, I swear to God.
Okay, so
no one remembers that game.
They lateraled the football. They're having laterals, right?
Oh, well, yeah, like on the play. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, you're lateraling it. Yes. Yes.
Did you hear Joe at any point mention the word lateral?
No.
This is like, it's still free. There's another one, which I love, Jenny. I actually listening to it raw. Thank you, Big Chick, because that was beautiful, man. I do take a lot of it back because that takes you back. That's like captures, that brings up such raw emotion. And he did capture the moment. You're right. And at the end there, that was poetic.
The end was because
at some point, can you agree? I don't know what's going on here.
Well, he clearly didn't either because the man was literally losing his voice in the middle of the call. But that's also part of it, too. It's like when there is something to, because I've been in that moment, not at that level, but like when you see something you've never seen before, it is so easy to get lost for words or to try and oversell something, right? It's miraculous. It's unbelievable. It's zany. It's beautiful. It's medlum. It's bedlam. And you don't know what you're saying. Like, I just made up a word, medlum, in the moment. So when you're trying to figure out how to do that in real time, to me, that is one of the most difficult things in the history of broadcasting. And for him to do that, You get one take. Because that call is going to be there forever. Like, his call is going to be associated, because I don't know if it was on television, but his call is going to be next to that play because it is the craziest play in the history of college football. So if he doesn't nail that finish and nail that call, he's going to be remembered as the guy that blew the best play in the history of the sport. There's a lot of pressure in that moment. And so to me, I'm willing to give him the pass that is not describing a lateral at the 50, Rodgers at the 40.
Well, I just need to know. But that, I guess if you listen to Joe's body of work, there was a lot of that. There was like Matt Barr back to pass and, oh, my, I'm like, what happened, Joe?
That's fair.
So it was sort of, but you're right. Listening to that, I stayed corrected.
No, like, Starkey to me, he's not my favorite play-by-play broadcaster, but the call itself I thought was pretty good. Yeah, for the 415, like, Bill King is the gold standard.
By the way, Bill King was the best. Do we have, if you can find it, we'll give my man Carter here an opportunity. If you have the Holy Roller call, Bill King and the Holy Roller in San Chargers, Raiders, Holy Roller, Bill King.
Yeah, that guy ruined my mom's childhood.
Bill Casper?
Yeah, yeah. The thing is, what was also great about Bill King is, to bring him back to the Warriors.
Oh, we got it loaded when you're ready. Go ahead.
Well, so he obviously did the A's for a long time.
Yeah.
Has this amazing call we're about to hear. But people always said that the Golden State Warriors, like basketball, was his best sport. That's unbelievable, the fact that you can have that amount of talent.
We talked about this last night as well. Yeah. You should have been at this. You should have been the one night. You should have been at Trader Sam's.
I've been telling you to hit me up. And Trader Sam's is in the old Stomping Grounds.
That's the fact that he was just a star. Okay, so we just heard Joe Starkey. I lean towards Bill King. So let's see here. The Holy Roller, Chargers, Raiders, Bill King, take it away.
The back, slot right, branch inside. Bradshaw, Stabler back. Here comes the rush. He sidesteps. Can he throw? He can't. The ball flipped forward is loose. A wild scramble. 2 seconds on the clock. Casper grabbing the ball. It is ruled a fumble. Casper has recovered in the end zone. The Oakland Raiders have scored on the most zany, unbelievable, absolutely impossible dream of a play. Madden is on the field. He wants to know if it's real. They said yes. Get your big butt out of here. He does. There's nothing real in the world anymore. The Raiders won the football game. The Chargers are standing, looking at each other. They don't believe it. Nobody believes it. I don't know if the Raiders believe it. It's not real. 52,000 people minus a few lonely Raider fans are stunned. A man would be a fool to ever try and write a drama and make you believe it. This one will be relived forever.
I mean, come on.
It's an unbelievable call.
That is just... Oh, that is just so... Oh, my... I'm tearing up here. Bill King, there was never anybody like you, and there never will ever be somebody that can do what it is that man did in the Bay Area.
I don't even know if you'd be allowed to, like, because one of the...
Before we get into it, but... Well, he stuck the landing as well. And his description of what took place was on par, if not better, than Joe Starkey. But although it was zany and inexplicable, I had a much clearer idea that there was a fumble and the ball's still loose and it's recovered by the Raiders in the end zone.
Yeah.
So there was at least the description before he got into in what was, I don't, you know, one of the craziest plays in the history of the NFL.
Yeah, no, it was, I mean, they literally had to make a rule because of it. Like, you couldn't, can't fumble the ball forwards because of that play. No, Bill King's all time. And he's also the only broadcaster, as far as I know, to be ejected from an NBA game.
Is that right?
Yes.
I think I knew this.
Yes, he's been ejected from an NBA game because he mother bleeped the referee, which I... And that's where Bill, again, I don't know if you wouldn't be allowed to be Bill King, because number one, they don't put radio guys on the floor anymore. Number two, you can't cuss out a ref the sideline, which, by the way, got on air. And in fact, the producer that was back at the other studio at a different station at the time literally had to cut the tape out of Bill King mother bleeping a referee because the crowd mic, he turned off his headset, but the crowd mic was still on. And there is evidence somewhere out there that was stricken from the tape of Bill King mother bleeping a referee that eventually threw him out of an NBA game.
That's beautiful. Wow. That was
Golden State Warriors basketball.
Continues to grow. Well, I remember he used to say, because they brought him back for a game once, and I remember they were talking after the game, the play-by-play voice, and I remember him saying, don't you guys ever just sign off? Like, I'd be done. And I would say, doing your post-game show, like, they should toss it to you guys a lot sooner. Like, Bill King didn't do that. Didn't have a three-segment post-game show. The game would end, he'd talk about it for 30 seconds, and then that was it. But there is a lengthy time in between, and I don't want to get into production here, but anyways.
Yeah, let's get back out. Not really our call.
Yeah, no, I hear you.
You think Bill King would like Vucevic?
Speaking of which, let's get back into it. We don't want to trade Draymond Green, apparently. We're in Canada. Let's join Rosemary. Rosemary or Rosemary? Which one? Rosemary? How do you pronounce your name?
Rosemary.
Okay, Rosemary, what's on your mind?
Okay, as I was saying earlier, that I'm annoyed at knowing that someone would think that Draymond is the same value as what's his name?
Vucevic?
The guy from Jimmy Butler is the same value as Draymond. He's by far, if you even break down the numbers, break down the quality, break down everything. I don't care what Draymond did and got suspended. That has nothing to do with it. He is a much value of a player. Stefan wouldn't even leave his wingman, not even for a second. So I don't even know where that would fall into the picture. The game is not the same without Draymond in on the Warriors team. So they would not even consider trading him, not even for a second. Doesn't matter who the player is. So I think they should have scrapped that idea from the beginning. He's not going anywhere.
Thanks, Rosemary.
Okay. Thanks.
Can I give you a Canada question before we lose you? We don't get a lot of calls north of the border. Do you frequent Tim Hortons?
Yes.
What's the best donut at Tim Hortons?
Well, guess what? I don't buy donut as much. But I do buy the Dutchie. That's the one I like.
See, we can't get that here in the States. There are no Tim Hortons. But yeah, getting back to your point about, and we appreciate the call. I think I was the one who was out on Draymond Green. And so, Rosemary, I don't know if you're still listening. It just becomes a question of, while he's still good right now, and she's right, he is so smart when it comes to basketball and defense. He's still got it. But
he's fine.
But he's aging. And so do you get off of these guys who are aging sooner rather than later? Because at some point, he's going to hit that wall, and all of a sudden he's going to be this gray beard, and you got him for another year and a half, and you're like, oh, man, how do we get out from underneath this? So at some point you got to gauge, while I still have value for this guy, do I trade him? And you'd rather trade him sooner rather than later, because later you're not going to get anything for him. You're just going to eat a contract for another old basketball player.
Well, speaking of Dutchies, I mean, it looks like Draymond's beard is glazed over with how much gray it's gotten lately.
Have you been to Tim Hortons?
Yeah, they have them on the East Coast.
Oh, they do?
Yeah, like up near the border, so like New England. Been to a Tim Hortons before. Good stuff. Also, Dunkin' Donuts. And they have Tim Hortons. I want to say, when I lived in North Dakota, they had Tim Hortons near Fargo and like Grand Forks. Neither here nor there. But trading Draymond to me, like, I don't think they're going to trade Draymond Green. You can't tell me he's untradeable. And if the reason he's untradeable is because the Warriors would never move him, that to me is, I don't see why. Like, it's because his value is nothing. That's why you can't trade, because he's worth more to your team than he is to another team. I think that everybody is on the table except for Steph Curry.
I'd agree with that.
It's more difficult to move Draymond than it is another player. That's why his name is not involved in trade talks. But the fact, he's not untouchable. Draymond Green, nor should he be untouchable, in my opinion. Love Tim Hortons. Love Canada. Thank you for the call. This is from the 510. Bill King would love Vucevic. He'd love to talk Eastern European history and literature with him.
So smart.
think he was big. Yeah, he was big into, I read, he really liked Russian poetry.
What is that?
He was a Renaissance man. Vucevic, to me, is interesting. I think that represents the most realistic deal that the Warriors can make, because this was also reported by Marcus Thompson of The Athletic a little bit ago, that the Thunder and the Kings are interested in Cam Johnson. And what that tells me is the Warriors might be, but it also means less about the Kings than it is about the Thunder. If the Thunder want a player, they're going to get him, because they have more to offer as far as trade pieces and, more importantly, draft picks.
Yeah.
Than anybody else in basketball. And if they want Cameron Johnson, they're going to get Cameron Johnson.
The Warriors have to give up Kuminga to get Johnson.
Yes. I personally would not want to do that.
By the way, there apparently was a Aldama, Santi Aldama sighting on Union Square by one of the listeners.
Dude, Santi can play. I know.
Yeah, he's a good player.
Well, he's better than Edie. But I think it's...
Well, no, that's not who you mentioned. You went with some Hugo Boss guy.
Yeah, well, Jay Huff's better than him, too.
Jay Huff. I don't even know who that is.
Jay Huff. Hey, you're...
Zach Edey.
You're going to learn about him tonight, brother.
Zach Edey, you have to admit, has... He's done a lot more. He can... I mean, for a guy that big... Remember how he played at Purdue? He never left the paint.
I'm sort of surprised. He's 7'4", 310 pounds. Why would he?
But he's a guy that's extending a lot more than I thought he was capable of. And he, you know what? He's always had his attitude. Well, my prediction tonight is watch for Edey and, once again, Draymond Green to get into it. And somebody's going to get teed tonight.
I mean, Edie's got a perpetual scowl that I don't think is allowed to leave his face. I don't know if he's...
Speaking of Tim Hortons in Canada.
What?
It's where he's from.
Edey?
Yeah, the Big Maple.
I don't know enough about this guy. I just don't like him.
Okay.
No, I'm just kidding. I guess I thought he was from Florida because he went to IMG Academy, but... Actually, that's why Draymond picks on him.
Why?
He doesn't go after Americans.
Oh. You buy into that?
Why do you think he went after Buddy Hield?
Chavano, how many times? He doesn't get the... He doesn't get the Buddy moniker until he starts hitting more than 1-3 in a month.
Yeah, I mean, he'd never go after Jaren Jackson Jr. That's a Michigan State guy.
By the way, do you know Buddy Hield's... Well, you know his first name, Chavana. You know what his middle name is? It's Rainier. Which, God, that is... Like, why would his mom...
It's a fantastic beer.
Like, those are, like, the best, because it wasn't a national brand, but it was a regional brand in the Northwest, in the Seattle area, and they did the most clever commercials for Rainier beer. It was, like, the best. Typically, if you see something that's locally produced, it's kind of like, yeah, silly. Theirs... And people would wait for these commercials to drop because they were as popular as the beer itself. Rainier Beer, I want to say sort of in the Seattle area, but it's definitely...
Well, it's named after
Northwest.
Mount Rainier,
yeah,
right?
Mount Rainier, yeah. Wait, I have a buddy that climbs Mount Rainier regularly on the rig.
Well, the slopes are open. Tis the season. It's also the name of a AAA team for the Seattle Mariners, the Tacoma Rainiers.
Tacoma Rainiers.
Yeah, my buddy used to live not too far away from there. It's a nice stadium. I miss the Pacific Northwest. I know you do too.
Well, you know, you've intimated on more than one occasion that you'd be a guy that if somebody out there in Portland, I think you said, I could see you rolling around Portland. Like I could see you throwing down roots in the Pacific Northwest and being one of those guys.
I'd be Kevin Calabro in a second.
Kevin Calabro, that's
he used to do the Supersonics too, right? I think he's one of the more underrated play-by-play broadcasters.
Very, very good.
Kevin Calabro is awesome.
Yeah, it's to golf with him.
No, Damian Lillard! It's like a very, very high-pitched voice. He's good.
He's the complete opposite. He has like the pipes, man.
Oh, but no. Okay, find a call where he gets excited. I'll play it for you after the show because we don't want to waste people's time, and we got like 5 minutes left.
All right.
What do you want the Warriors to do right now, Dan? I think like tonight, this weekend, they're going to keep it rolling. If they could beat Memphis without Curry, that'd be massive. But I think we're at the point also where you got to try and just build in rest for these dudes to make sure that you can get the games that are gettable, aka the one tomorrow versus Sac. Also, the Cam Johnson news tells me that the Warriors are not going to get him, and not just because of Kuminga. I also think that like if the Thunder, you're not outbidding them. The Nets would take a package from the Thunder as opposed to the Warriors, even if it included Kuminga.
They just have too many. I mean, Presti has done such a good job there. They're so good, and yet they can get even better because of all those draft picks.
And they don't even have Chet Holmgren.
Oh, I know.
He's been hurt for most of the year.
So I think the Warriors, this is a big game tonight.
It is.
It's big because it is, again, what it is that we saw on Thursday is that sort of a carryover and sort of something that they can build off of, or was that a one-off? And when I mean that game, I mean the energy, and I mean the ball. It was clearly different. If you watch that game, you're like, wow, where'd this come from?
So they're making shots.
Making shots, but I think it all stemmed. You could see that there was the ball movement and just they were pushing pace right from the outset, that they were a step and a half faster than out of Philadelphia. So will that continue? I mean, are we going to see that? Or are they going to revert back to that team that, you know, was so bad over the last month and a half?
I mean, they're probably closer to that team than they are scoring 140 a game. Like, that was the only time, I think, the third time this year they've scored more than 130 points, and one of them, speaking of Portland, was against the Trailblazers on opening night. So, you know, it's a one-off, but it doesn't mean that they can't get hot, and I think that's what this roster is built around, is a lot of streaky players, and that means that Chivano could break out tonight. He could get you 20, and that could help you beat the Memphis Grizzlies. You know, without Curry, I also don't think it's out of the question that Draymond Green sits tonight because he generally doesn't play when Steph doesn't. He's also older. But I think the Warriors, like, they have to shoot the crap out of the ball to beat Memphis, who's probably not going to have Ja. And it's because they play so fast. I think they're a tougher matchup for the Warriors. One of the things, you're right, the ball was moving, it was crisp, it was clean against the Sixers, but the Sixers also are not very good defensively, and they're not a buttoned-up team, and that's not been the case with Memphis. They're obviously a lot better with Ja, but defensively they are much more, they're built to defend the three-point line a lot better than Philly.
Yeah, and again, without Steph Curry, I can tell you right now that Jonathan Kuminga is going to go for if not high 20s, he's going to be in the 30s.
No, Draymond is going to play tonight.
Yeah, and again, I think Jonathan, these are the games where Jonathan Kuminga, if he does not, and it's always, you know, just to sort of make it even better for Jonathan Kuminga if Draymond's not there, but he will be the centerpiece tonight. And just watch his body language. He is so much more of a confident basketball player when Steph's not there. And he is going to be, the offense will run through Jonathan Kuminga, and that I can guarantee that it's going to be Jonathan Kuminga's world tonight. And Jonathan Kuminga will continue this hot streak and look for him to set a new career high in points because he's in a groove and he they need him to do that. So it's not just about him being comfortable because Steph's not there, but he understands the necessity now for him to score the basketball. That and the fact that, you know, he's doing it at a high clip right now is a perfect, perfect remedy for this guy to go off this evening. I think he's perfectly positioned to have a huge, huge night.
I agree, yeah, and it is because they need him to. You know, there's not really another option without Curry on the floor for this team, you know, offense by committee. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know if he's going to score 35. But if he does, you know who he will go at, and you know who Jonathan Kuminga has shown that he can really take advantage of?
Desmond Bane?
No. Centers that can't move their feet. And Zach Edey is public enemy number one tonight because...
Well, Jaren Jackson will be out there.
Yeah, but hopefully you can get him more towards the perimeter. But Edey or Huff are going to get eaten by Kuminga. He did it against Zubats. He's done it against... who's the other big center? Point is, if you can't move your feet...
He loves when Plumlee comes onto the floor.
Mason Plumlee, that's another one. Yeah, I mean... Plumlee's better than Edey, so it's...
Oh, I don't know about that.
You really like your centers that can't shoot.
I like traditional old throwbacks. We got to say goodbye.
Do we?
All right, until now. Actually, I'm in New York next week, so you...
What?
And whomever, because you can't fill these shoes, because if you come after the kahuna, you better not miss, people. I don't know what the hell that has to do with anything, but it's a good way to get out. From my man Evan Giddings, Carter Chickering, Pasta, we love you. We'll see you next time right here on 95.7 The Game.